Talk Radio.
How you doing, Scott, Jimmy, Adrian, 313? Oh, yeah. It's May 16th, another version of the UAW Factory Whistle Show. Take it away, Scott, Jimmy, Adrian, and 313.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh. What are you, Fat Albert? Hey, hey, hey. What the hell is that?
Yeah, it is not Fat Albert.
No body shaming, Scott, just because he added a few pounds, you know.
Yeah, just a few pounds.
Anyway, so how's everybody doing this week?
Wonderful. No sense in complaining.
Wonderful.
Fabulous.
Well, Louisville, Kentucky, the message to the plant manager, dated May 14th. Similar to a wide variety of other industries, our production schedules continue to be affected by the semiconductor shortage. He's announcing the week of May 24th will be a down week for Louisville, Kentucky. So,
also for Dearborn, on EST shift, they will also be down the 24th and the week of the 31st.
Hmm.
Correct.
There you go.
Wentzville is going from three shifts down to two. I didn't know they make what, the Colorado, the Canyon, and the Van, right?
Yeah.
If I remember right. And American Axle is going to be the sole supplier of front and rear axles for GM's Canada plant up in Oshawa.
Hey, Rory Gamble, remember that. That's my home plant. You guys peddled us off like we were flies on shit. Now we're running every rear end in the country, ain't it? I guess we were a bunch of ass.
Yeah.
Ooh. And Free Press reported that Donald Moore's going to invest in Pontiac stamping plant to support the EV production.
Say that again, Scott.
GM's going to invest in Pontiac stamping to support EV production.
Get closer to your phone or whatever the hell you're doing.
They kept that going anyway because up at Flint Metal Center, we had to take all their Tier 1 employees in 2012, I believe it was. Them people were a disgrace, and the UIW did nothing. They just stood there. They made these people take a transfer and give up their rights back to their home plant so they could hire people in at half-scale wages and keep that plant. That's one of them standalone agreement plants there, Scott. Thank you, Rory.
Oh, yeah.
And that, I want to get Rory didn't make that call, but this is the shit that man inherited, and I don't want everybody to think that he stirred the whole shit. It's just everything's coming up on his watch. People are getting smarter to learn out who's sniffing the dog and who's like shit.
Okay, let me get Paul on. All right, spinning. Come on. Paul, you're on.
Greetings to rabble rousers.
Greetings.
Hello,
I shudder,
Paul,
whenever I hear the word investment. Because it means they're going to put millions of dollars into a plant and eliminate jobs.
Yeah, that's it.
There's
every
nothing
time
positive,
yeah,
when you hear the word investment.
More so, beware of the word joint venture. Because if the UAW or the company goes to joint venture with another company, then we don't really guarantee the UAW can possibly even represent these people. And who wins out of it all? The companies. We sure the hell don't. Now we got to fight again. Remember, the word joint venture is another way to divide this membership, people.
It's not a way to divide us, Jim. It's a way to get rid of us.
Right.
Joint,
yeah.
Mary Barra has it figured out. She'll just get rid of the UAW through joint ventures. Because this union won't stand up to anything. Could you picture the Los Angeles Teachers Union allowing the school district to go into a joint venture to eliminate teachers?
No.
Both time the UAW wised up.
Yeah.
This paragraph 8 is a bunch of crap.
Well,
they used to be, go ahead. What was that?
Well, go ahead, Scott.
But the, I am. Can you hear me?
No, you sound like
Hello?
Crap. What are you doing?
Got a new phone from tomorrow. So.
Oh, good Lord. Another new phone. Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Anyway.
When did you get to from Tokyo?
No. I think you came from South Korea. Anyway. Paragraph 8 is the only paragraph they have out of the whole contract. It's basically an operating clause. That's fine. You're allowed that. Everything else out of that contract is negotiable.
But the only problem with it, they're interpreting to paragraph 8 to mean they don't have to operate at all. All they have to do is outsource everything.
Well, yes.
I mean, that's basically what they're doing with it. They're just saying, we're going to do whatever we want. We're just going to eliminate all your jobs by outsourcing everything we do. And the UAW has been stupid enough to go along with it. Like I said, I don't care for what the Los Angeles Teachers Union has been doing, but at least they do understand they're there not to help the school district, but to represent their membership, and it's about time. The UAW understands their purpose is not to help the company make money, but to represent the best interest of their workers.
And apparently, says we're going to fight for this battery company merger to get good wages. How about a true living working wage, Cindy and you guys down there? Screw this $15 an hour. Hell, you're going to get that for flipping burgers. Screw $20 an hour. We wear our bodies out.
Yeah.
You want us to work for 40 years? Give us back $25 an hour and a pension. Then you'll have a loyal employee. Stand up, Cindy. Get back some of the shit we gave up or get off the pot. It's time to shit.
A production worker who's hired right out of high school is going to have to take that pounding for 50 years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How are they going to last?
Not well.
Sadly, you know, Scott, I know, Adrian knows, Don Couch knows, and anybody with more than 15 years in the game, you ain't.
Well, anybody that works understands that. The problem with even the ones who were at Solidarity House who worked in production, they worked in production 20 years ago when it was an entirely different workplace.
Yep.
They came from an offline classification. That's how they were able to win elections. It's hard to win an election when you're working on an assembly line, working 59 seconds a minute.
Where you got to hold your urine for 5 hours because you're not entitled to a piss break or a pee break, I think they call it now.
Yeah.
And then you're on a clock watch, and I guess you got to be able to piss to a stopwatch. I don't understand that one either.
It's some of that crap that precipitated that long strike at Flint Truck and Bus in 1969.
69?
Was it 69? Or it was before the long strike. They had before the long national strike. They had a long strike at Truck and Bus, and that was one of the issues. Was timing people on bathroom breaks, not letting them use the bathroom.
Right. I think it might have been 69. Cause I think 72 was a big strike.
Well, they went right from a long strike. Long local strike right into a national strike.
Wow.
It was really tough on them. They couldn't pay strike benefits during the truck and bus local strike because they knew they were going to be going into a long national right after that.
Right. Wow, that's amazing.
Hey, has there been any more news out of Solidarity House? Have they indicted anybody else or any news about anything pertinent?
Just that Dennis Williams got sentenced to, 21 months, I think.
Yeah.
He's going to the motel, though.
Yeah. And he has to pay... he has to pay $132,000 in restitution and like $10,000 in fines or something like that.
Yeah, that's all good.
He's already paid $135,000.
Right, Adrian.
Okay.
But I got the question, though. I know a lot of this, they all say they got to pay it back, but when it comes to the time to finding it on the LM2s, you ain't seeing where the money back is going. You're seeing where you're paying the son of a gun. I don't understand that one. Somebody's going to have to explain that one to me. And then you got the regional director up here that claims one of the websites were anti-union because the thing the brother put on the page was true. It was actually on government documents. Isn't that kind of calling
right.
a kettle black, Steve? You better understand. You look like a dummy with a something up your butt.
Yeah, that was real interesting, Region 1D director and the audit for, what
yeah.
is that, Local 699?
Exactly, up in Saginaw.
Yeah, it's real interesting.
Yeah, that one is. You know, that was one of his plans, was it not, Scott, before he became director? Wasn't he one of the... Oh, what do you call that? Like ringleaders from the international when it comes to bring somebody in? I think that was what he was a servicing rep there is what I think I'm trying to say.
Yep.
He was
yep.
assistant regional director for, I think, 3 terms.
No, but I mean, during that time, I also think he was a servicing rep for that local up there in Saginaw before he became director. You know, that's they all... start out as like a servicing director over there where they have a little piece of the pie.
Right.
Yeah, because yeah. I know Norwood had all these plants in Owosso, the bus company. He had a few stamping plants over by Holt Jackson. Yeah, that, I don't know, it's called Magic Bus in Owosso. They take Disney buses and refurbish them. And he did a lot of, you know, negotiation of their contracts over there. Yeah, he should have got a few years for that, too, from what I know from what Chuck told me. Anyway, moving forward, it's amazing how this microchip's hitting everybody. I see Stellus is going down, too. It's starting to affect their stock figures. But if you read the bottom line in the end, because all these vehicles are out there, if they ever do get micro or semiconductors, but what I don't understand is, if everybody's down and this is causing such an issue, why the hell don't we start making them ourselves like we did the face mask? I mean, from what I've read, it's not a big issue for us to make that.
They
no.
had a plant in Texas that did it, and
yeah,
they had
that's
some
what I mean.
Issues. And so I don't understand why they haven't started that back up. I don't know what the problem is with that.
Right. I mean, with the chip stuff, Stellantis is in Belvedere. They're laying off. It's going to move from 2 shifts to 1 at the Belvedere plant. That could leave 1,500 people without work. And as I go through, it does not seem to give the very bottom. The statement from Stellantis is, as we continue to balance sales with production of Jeep Cherokee produced at Belvedere Assembly Plant, which has been further exacerbated by the unprecedented global microchip shortage, Stellantis notified affected employees, the state of Illinois, the city of Belvedere, and the UAW today, the production operations plant will be reduced from 2 shifts to 1 as of July 26, 2021. This action can affect 1,600 foreign represented employees. The company will make every effort to make place laid off hourly employees and open full-time positions as they become available based on seniority. So there you go, Jimmy. And then, Sterling Heights Assembly Plan. The Colin PAA suspension. Basically, your call-in days, right? Your sick days, whatever you call them, VR days.
Can't use them on Mondays, Fridays, or Saturdays.
Yep. May 14th through June 24th. The student's tremendously high absenteeism has had an effect on production. The use of call-in and PAA on Mondays, Fridays, and Saturdays is suspended for the next 6 weeks. All PAA requests on Monday, Fridays, and Saturdays must be pre-excused by a member of management. Any attempted use of a call-in on PAA on those days will result in attendance occurrence.
Wow. Now, I got a question for you. Think about this one. I have a friend that's hitting me where they're really pressing. This is one of the plans for these skilled trades. You guys are working 12 hours a day for how many days in a row? And they're old, you know. They're wore out. And then now all of a sudden the guy's got 35 years and he's in the attendance program. He's looking at getting discharged. It's sad the games they're playing to get rid of the history, the culture of our own union. That's the way I'm going to word it, because that's what the hell this is. This is an assault on the culture of the UAW. They don't want us teaching these young kids what they should, or these young UAW people, excuse me, and I meant that with no disrespect. They don't want us teaching these younger members of our great union what they should and had at one time before these jackasses took it away. I'm done.
Right. I don't know what to say. This is ridiculous. It's past ridiculous.
Well, it's ridiculous that our international leaders don't think of what they're bringing to us. They don't think through the implications. That's why it brought up the question in my mind, are these guys even sober when they bargain these agreements?
Good point.
I mean, how could you ratify something like that, or bring something like that to the membership to ratify, that could put people in harm's way? These contracts that, you know, require forced overtime for certain circumstances are ridiculous. It's like the assumption is the employee doesn't have a life.
Well, I'm going to say
right.
this now, no disrespect, but I do know, and I believe Scott knows, that I can guarantee you the next morning sometimes when my uncle was in there bargaining, he had a hangover. Listen to his war stories of killing 2-3 fists and going back to your room at 5 in the morning and then being at the table at 8 a.m. Okay,
yeah.
I can understand that. And they always had my drink, my cognac. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, you know, management was sober. They do their drinking afterward.
Right, right. Well, sometimes. You know.
Well, you know it's a requirement in management that they be on the top of their game when they go in and bargain with a UAW. They take bargaining very seriously because management understands that those contracts more than words on paper. It bites you in the rear end after it's ratified.
Right. Well, that's how it used to be. Used to be. These last, I want to say at least the last three contracts, they've almost been hand in hand, Paul. When we went out on strike, and General Motors said they were going to pull our benefits almost immediately. Terry Ditas, you know, put his letter out in public, and they were both at the Human Resource Center. They were both there. They're literally two doors down from each other having coffee together that morning. and they play that out in the court of public opinion in the paper to sound like, oh, they're going to do this, and oh, I'm going to do that, and oh no, they're going to do this. I've talked to them, and it's a bunch of bullshit.
My understanding is management always pulls the benefits when you go on strike. You're not working any longer. And the union that picks up the cost of her benefits.
It's supposed to. They got all that money that's going to them. They don't want to get none of that money going to us.
Yeah.
So, and also, you know, Dearborn Truck's going to work one out of three shifts during the week of May 24th.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's,
and that was coming from
funny.
Ford.
Yeah, the brothers said that earlier, but they weren't going to do B and C shift, I believe it was. That's for an additional 2 weeks. I've already been in that for a while, I believe.
Right.
Well, the bright spot is people are going to get somewhat of a summer.
Well, maybe.
No, Jimmy. All three shifts are still running at Dearborn Truck. After this, okay, so this is Sunday. Monday will be a regular week of regular shifts, A, B, and C. The following week, only A shift is running. And then the week after that, nobody's running for the maintenance issues that they said they have.
Thank you.
Thank you, yeah.
I thank you for that.
You know, for the people who are still working, I'd like to know what their coworkers think of the corruption in the union. Are they buying the idea that we only had about a dozen of bad apples, or do the working membership believe that the corruption's endemic in the UAW, that if they caught 12 people, there was probably dozens that others that knew what was going on? What is the feeling in the plant?
My understanding, or people that I'm around, everybody's oblivious to everything. They only care about their weekly paycheck, because that's what we're whittled down to at this point. So, as far as what is everybody thinking, where half the work crew or half the shifts are littered with people that aren't even members, or other members, but they're not employees. So that's their first objective, to be an employee.
Yeah.
And for those of us that have been here for a little while, I mean, like I said, I only got less than 10 years in. But just now, I'm, you know, taking more of an interest in the UAW part of the job. But, I mean, I really don't think that there's that much thinking going on. That's why I want to talk to Adrian and maybe do some educational issues for all the employees coming in and some of those that are there now.
Yeah.
And
I
hopefully
just
we're
going
to be able to get together, 313, as soon as you're available, you let me know so that we can get together, because I'm lining up some people in the truck plant.
All right, cool. This week looks like a goal for me and you, so, but I'll message you about it later.
Yeah, we'll talk, we'll discuss it later, but there are some people that's there that are seniority people. When I say seniority, they have like 25 years. I do know some that have like 15 years. And so we're going to try to set up something with them so that it could spread a little bit better. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Right.
I have a real issue right now looking at different groups of people with this one member, one vote. I believe that we should have one member, one vote. But the problem is becoming that they're fighting, these groups are fighting against each other. They're negative towards one another.
Yeah.
And that will not help you to achieve what you are trying to achieve if you don't come together. Whether you like each other or not, it's not about what you like, who you like. If you have the same common goal, that's what you should be looking at.
Well, the biggest obstacle we have is local leaders themselves. If you talk to a lot of them privately, they'll say we need one man, one vote, but they're not about to stand up against the regional director and call.
I am not talking about local leaders.
Well, I'm saying they're the biggest obstacle, though. Because I'm sure most people would agree that we should have the right to elect our leaders. But it's hard to overcome the resistance from the elected leaders, because the elected leaders understand that if they stand up for one man, one vote, their union career is done. They're not getting out of the local. They're not going to get into the region. They're not going to get an international appointment. So they shut their mouths.
Yep. Exactly.
Yep. And that's just it. And I agree. You know, the bands of people who have a common goal in sight, you need to set your difference apart.
Sure.
For the common good of the membership and work together, because you each have strengths and weaknesses, and hopefully you can complement each other to get through this. Then we'll address our differences. Not about the individuals needing to fight. It's about the membership.
Happen with that, if you listen to what Adrian and Scott and Paul are telling you, if we can get that, then we can work on we all getting at one pay scale and get true equality through our great union as was once was. That's
yes.
What we got to do to stop this bullshit.
Yes.
The Reuther Caucus has been infected with a cancer 25 years ago, 20 years ago.
Longer.
And the cancer has just gotten worse. Yeah, maybe longer.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, what's made it worse is the appointed system. If you were a bad leader 30 or 40 years ago, you weren't going to get elected or reelected. If you're a bad leader now, you have dozens of appointed people and bought and paid for votes. They'll go out and campaign their rear ends off for you. You didn't have that 30 or 40 years ago. If you didn't perform, you were out. Now you have an army of people to go out and work for you. Management knew what they were doing when they created the appointed system. Those jobs are there to reinforce management's will on the membership.
How many terms did Jokic have? Three?
I think he had three.
Four? Then who came after Jokic?
He was going in this fourth thing, and then I believe it was Gettelfinger, was it not?
His hand-picked man.
Yeah, Ron
Gettelfinger.
And Ron wasn't
because
up to the job.
But how many he got to finish out Jokic's term, and then he got two more terms.
Yeah.
Correct. And then he
handed his torch off to his right-hand man, Bob King.
Right.
Bob King had two terms and handed his baton off to
Williams.
Yeah.
Then
Williams handed it off to his boy,
Gary
Jones.
Everybody needs to know, but Gary was brought into the UAW but nobody than the man that started this conversation by the name of Stephen P. Jokic. He was an outside public accountant, and Jokic introduced him. And God, it was in that far west region way out there. And that's what
was
where
it region
he got
eight?
Out of.
Region 8? Region 9?
Yeah, out there where he got indicted out of. He was actually a certified public accountant and was hired by the UAW for 2 years. Then after 2 years, he became UAW right about the time when he started the nickel thing, the nickel diversion of Cola. He was the mastermind of Viva. Whether people want to know it or not, study your damn history books. His name's there from the nickel diversion, and that nickel now, God, if Hanline's correct, right now that nickel's built up to a little over $9, but I'm not that good on that math, so I can't make that claim. It still goes today because you read the word COLA in your national agreement. The only reason why it's there is because of that nickel back then was diverted, and they got to keep it going. They'll find a way. Well, they've already found ways to get their hand on it. Remember, they changed the word to organizing. End of subject.
Hmm. This is something. And Adrian, you're right about Region 1D director being disturbed over all this missing money at Local 699.
I just found that to be questionable, to say the least.
I got a question. Isn't that local up there that I was asking you about, how that chairman up there could get all that cash money to get that marijuana license?
I believe that was the one, I believe.
It's old steering gear local, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what
I think
I mean.
It is.
Right.
He's the one that big ass contract up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that at that level at which that individual wanted to operate at, I think Jimmy said, if I remember right, wasn't the to get that license was like $200,000.
Yes, sir.
A lot of money, I know that.
Cash money.
Wow.
But yeah, if I remember right, I believe he retired from doing that, you know, after that agreement.
And if I remember right, don't American Axle have a 5-year agreement now?
Yeah, I believe
I think
it
they
is
do. They're stuck in a 5-year shitty contract negotiated by UAW shitty leadership. I'm sorry I said that out loud. I apologize.
Why? You got an overseer that even admits the contracts were tainted by a federal judge, and he allows this shit to continue. He allows them to have elections where you can't even campaign on union property without getting intimidated by the membership in power, and he allows all this shit. So I don't see nothing changing in a long time until this membership grows some balls, reaches in the jar, grabs a jockstrap or a push-up bar or something, and stands up, because this sitting here in this learned helplessness, this is where it's got you the last 25 years. Somebody's got to stand up, and I sure the hell hope it's the people listening, because we're getting too old to last for another generation, at least I am.
Yep, I agree. What do you think, Paul?
Tired of hearing the same old shit over and over again, too.
Amen, sister, thank you.
It just seems like it's never ending.
If you have a way to make it smell good, I say it because it smells like shit.
Oh, boy. I don't
it's
know.
It's like there's no meeting bullshit until first of June. I called over for shit. Well, you know, all meetings in June, July, and August are suspended for the summer. So, yeah, basically, the one member, one vote thing, and Rory's going to handle that. He's handling it great. He put that in the garbage can, so it's going to file that bitch, and it's going through the compactor right now. Unless you stand up and educate the guy around you about what you can gain from one member, one vote, you ain't ever going to get respect back on the shop floor. And I hate to say it, wake up, smell the coffee, and look at the shit, because that's the truth.
Cappuccino is burning.
It's burning, I tell you.
Yep.
Coffee is burning. So, you know, and if I remember right, who got screwed over on their contract?
Everybody.
Well, I'm sure the staff council of Solidarity Host got a good contract.
Oh,
well,
yeah, they got a good
one. People better realize one thing. They didn't discriminate now, did they? They screwed everybody.
No.
Remember, they get 5-6 pensions, so their screwing's got a little bit more juice. End of story.
Right, right. Was it Volvo? Somebody just got really rear-ended, and it was somebody that the General Motors, or not General Motors, I apologize, UAW wanted to negotiate for. I thought.
Yeah, I think there was Volvo.
Yeah. I'm thinking. I could be wrong. But
I don't think it was
somebody
VW,
got.
But it was a V, so that's why I think I'm going along with you on that.
Well, don't we
right.
already represent the truck building arm of Volvo? Isn't Volvo
say,
white something that General Motors spun work off to, heavy duty or medium duty trucks?
Yeah, that's what it is. It was May 14th. They wanted to vote no on the UAW Volvo solid agreement. They wanted them to come join. They wanted to they wanted to keep maintain the tier system, increase healthcare costs, and worsen working conditions.
Yeah.
And that's in Pennsylvania, isn't it?
I believe
yes.
so. The General Motors used to build their heavy duty trucks at Pontiac Truck and Bless in Plant 2. And they claimed they were losing money, so they sold it. They found out later they were making money on it, but they sold it, and Volvo White builds their what used to be General Motors heavy duty trucks.
Right.
But that's an example of what I was talking about with that paragraph 8. What they're gradually doing is just not operating, just getting rid of everything. I mean, I don't see where there's anything to stop them from going into a joint venture with somebody on metal stamping and outsource all their metal stamping.
Right. Well, let me see. Real quick, let me talk about this. Workers hired before 2011 would receive only a 9% increase over the 5-year contract, which would inevitably mean a cut to real wages, taking into account of inflation, which means it's already shot up to its highest level in a decade. But the UAW's biggest claim to have eliminated tier wages and benefits, of course, it's not, because they repackaged just like they did with us, and repackage the second tier with in progression worker. How you like that? Lower tier workers would reach top pay in 8 years, 3 years past the life of the contract itself. Healthcare costs deductibles would double from 200 to 400 individually, and from 400 to 800. The coinsurance rate would double from 10 to 15%. In 2022, the workers' portion of the premium payments would increase. Out-of-pocket costs would more than double, rising from $750 for single coverage and $1,500 for families to $2,000 for single and $4,000 for families. Alternative work schedule and tax 8 hours. What else is there?
Basically, there's nothing good for the worker in that contract.
I guess that's safe to say.
One thing, every contract we had in progression that went past that day for them to become a whole employee per se, then it's renegotiated. It's not in the new contract. It don't work out good. I know too many people the next contract they took a pay cut. Think about it. Or, I mean, we all got to come as one. Now's the time, people. Supposedly we have a president in office that fights for the union. Let's put his ass on the call and see what, you know, let him put that laser focus on getting back some of the shit we give up. Put him up to the plate. Let that son of, never mind, Jim, shut up.
What, when Ford announced it's going from the United States to Mexico with new product?
Yeah, exactly.
And a few years ago, Biden was praising up China that there's no danger to us.
There you go, that laser focus again I was talking about.
Yeah.
No comment.
I'm
no
with
comment.
You on that. No comment.
I thought so, Adrian. Go ahead, Scotty. Whoever.
Well. I'm just. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that makes me sick. Like, you go to a certain union meetings or you go to the conventions and they slam Republican, you know, they slam Republicans, basically. There's anti-union and whatever. And, okay, I'm not claiming that most Republicans are friends of labor. But the thing is, then they turn around and bargain contracts that are bad for the workforce. You know, the only thing we have to stand up for us is our union, and they haven't been doing it. You know, it's silly that they rag on anti-union Republicans and then they basically bring us contracts that are anti-worker.
Right. Right. Now, I think Adrian said it all when we need to learn to, for whatever reason, put our differences aside for right now and collectively come together as a whole to use all of our resources together.
Yeah.
Some already have a head of steam rolling right now, it appears, and that's a good thing. I'm not going to say that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. You know, somebody's got something focused, and they're trying to help the workers out, and they are getting heat from all sorts of different directions.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, high-seniority
workers need to start showing some concern for these people in these lower tiers, because the reason there's so much animosity is these lower seniority workers understand the higher seniority workers voted to screw them.
But then that's not all true.
No, correct.
And one of the things that I think that we really need to stop focusing on is politicians, because none of them, Democrat or Republican, are for the worker.
Yeah.
You have only certain ones that are.
Yeah.
You have only certain ones in either party that's constitutionally correct.
Yeah.
And we have to stop dividing ourselves that way also.
Sure.
Yeah, see, we divide ourselves by the older Democrats are for the workers. It's so many of them that's not. And it's the same thing for the Republicans. And then the other thing is, who jumped ship? And what I mean by that, you have Republicans that were Democrats. You have Democrats that were Republicans. And so when you jump ship and go to the other side, you carry some of that baggage with you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's important.
Just like a Joe Ashton, right?
Right.
Was, you know, wasn't vice president in the UAW, and now he's a board member on General Motors.
That's right.
Don't think he didn't take a lot of information that was beneficial
the corporation with him. I think he walked out of Solidarity House and he wiped his mind clean. Oh, baloney. Why do you think they wanted him?
That's right.
They wanted him for one reason and one reason only. They didn't care what he was tied to in the past. We know what we can get in the future with this guy.
That's right. You know,
well, he was
friendly
when he was a UAW leader.
There's something else going on in GM. I've been talking to some people, and they're talking about the pension plan. And because I don't get the letters, GM retirees get the letter that tell them how funded their pension plan is, and they get it once a year.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Can anyone tell me how funded GM's pension plan is? What is the percentage?
87.
Right now it's at 87% funded?
My last letter, and I think that letter came in December, showed us an 87%. We actually go way up. But what I'm trying to figure out on that is where it records the death and that coming off, that's not accurate to the date report. It lags 2 years. And I know, you know, at our age, that's a lot of money. So, yeah, but it showed us at 87.
At 87. I need to write that down.
Is that on paper or is that actual funded?
That's, well, they send it to me on paper, Scott. You should get that same exact letter.
No.
But I'm not,
no,
I'm
no.
not retired.
Retirees get it.
Well, all right, then. I was looking. Now I know why I got two. I got Richards.
Uh-huh. Yeah, retirees get that to let you know how funded the pension plan is. What I've been trying to find out, because this is the only way that I can make some sense out of some things, how much does the company put into the pension plans for each individual when they were doing pensions? See, right now we know that they give 6.2% of your annual wage. That's what they put into all of the new members' 401k. Were they putting 6.2% into the pension plan for each individual?
No, I do not believe that to be true.
And furthermore, if I remember right, it's been 7 years? Been more than 7 years. They come out and they openly said they're not going to put any more money into the pension plan.
Yeah, I was going to say,
perpetually self-funding as people die off. They're not adding no more people since 2007. And as people die off, that money just keeps rolling over.
Well, that's true in a way and not, we now know, but yeah. Because they're not adding nobody into it unless the UAW pluses it. We now know some of these young whippersnappers, I'm going to call them, are getting a defined pension. But that being said, you're correct.
How are they getting a defined pension, Jim? Before you go further.
Because when they are hired in, like Norwood's kids, that
okay.
both of them get your defined pension plan.
Yeah, but that's under the UAW.
I know, but they still get somehow, they go right into our defined pension plan, and they're going to draw up what we know as VIVA. I don't know how they pulled that horseshoe or hand grenade or whatever you want to call it, but yes, once they get to the international, they get the same retirement as a legacy worker.
Because they're not considered an in progression, a tier 3, 4, or 5 worker. They are considered a conventional worker. And but legally, the only way that they could throw them into the defined pension plan was they'd have to backdate their official higher end date no later than 10/1/2007. Unless there's been something else, a sweetheart deal made, and I guess I can't say.
Yeah, that sounds like some illegal stuff going on there. Pensions. When you work for the companies, pensions are, they take your total hours. They don't take your years. They multiply your total hours to get your pension plans.
Yeah, but don't they max Ford out? Because they max us out at GM. You got to get $17.50 or $18.50, Scott, to get a full credited year. Any more hours than that, you don't get credit for it. You get paid for it, but you don't get credit. Shit, I wish I did. I'd make a pot of goddamn money.
What happens is everybody's pensions get froze at 30 years. I don't know how Ford is. I didn't really look into it. Or with Chrysler. Chrysler is going to be a pickle now because they're trying to make all sorts of changes on the fly. But with General Motors, I know that at 30 years, you credit no more pension time. What you do is for every year of service that you have, you get an additional $50 a month. Once you hit 62.5, so if I was retiring now, I'd have to go under supplemental income, and then I'd go back in. They top you out. I think we're all about the same for retirement. I think it's 3,600 and some change a month. And then if you want to add surviving spouse, $165 comes out of that. If you want to keep Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance, I believe it's $18 for yourself and $36 or $35, I think, for a couple. And if you still have kids from under the age of 26 that are still home, I think it's even more than that. That all comes out, and then our great state of Michigan gets to tax that, and Don can tell you, basically what you clear as taxes. I mean, not we're gonna say that amount, but you're losing, I'm gonna say about $1,000 a month right there. That's after taxes, of course. So. Because our pension plan hasn't changed since 2007. 2011, 2015 contract was the same as pensions. They've not increased the pensions payout for any of us.
And how much has inflation gone up since then?
Well, a lot. I'm glad you say that, because the purchasing power now, as compared to the purchasing power then, has went way down. Inflation has went up. Stagnation is full in place, and nobody wants to talk about inflation. Brian Kilmer will talk about inflation, but a lot of people don't want to talk about it. Until this last week, when they showed that it took a 14% rise, and now people like Wall Street and some other investor sites are starting to say, we might have a problem on the horizon. And I don't think it's the horizon. I think it's here. I think it's up close and personal. It's about to happen a lot sooner than what they anticipate. That's just my thought. You know what I mean? So, just a thought.
Got awful quiet.
Just a thought.
I'm concerned that the board, the executive board of GM, is allowed and they continue to forego keeping that pension plan at least 95%. It should be at 100%, but at least 95%. I'm a little leery and concerned about that.
Right.
The last letter that I got from Forge, our pension plan was funded at 125%, which that makes it overfunded.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what do they do with the overage?
Well, that gives them a cushion so that if they run into some issue of, well, we need to move some money to do something to that train station, right?
Right.
Well, we could forego putting monies in our pension plan. And we'll still be... we'll still make sure that we're at least at 100%, which is good financial sense when you know that you owe something out.
Right. Right.
So that's why I'm concerned about that. If they're not going to put anything in, that means the funding as people. More people retire, that 87% will keep bottoming out and going down. And it could get to a point where your pension amount can be cut.
Ah, I see.
Yeah,
there's not enough money there to cover the pensions that we have.
Right.
But at such time, the federal laws, was it ERISA, maintain that the corporations must maintain so much actual cash on hand to cover this, and they're allowed to have just so much on the books. And usually the cash on hand is lower than the amount they have on books, and they're entitled under that. That's the ERISA guidelines. I'm not real familiar how that all works. I just know that there's two sets of numbers there, and one of them must be maintained.
Okay.
General Motors had a lot of money in there, and I'm with you as far as the funding goes. If they're not putting any money, because they were public, they made a public statement. They're not going to put no more money in there. They don't need to, they said. So...
I don't know. Because I don't know how many active... Here's the other thing. How many active workers are there with GM that are legacy that get, you know, that will receive a pension when they retire? And suppose you had... Just like, you know, during the Depression, you had a run on the bank.
Right.
So suppose everybody said, well, the hell with y'all. We retiring. Then what?
Right. Right. You'd have to have, let's see, 2007 was the last year that people were put into the pension plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're looking at 2037 before they could retire with a full pension. If you go out with 20 years, your pension is greatly reduced. I'm going to say almost by half.
Oh,
almost
I can tell you that. Yeah, I retired with 22 and a half years.
It's more
than
what
I retired with.
Right.
And, but I had did all the calculations prior to me retiring. I already, matter of fact, I ended up getting $200 more than what I had calculated because I always do stuff on the low end.
Right.
So
they get hours. Didn't you catch what you said? They don't get capped on the hours. We got capped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because once we get like 1,850 hours, that's it. You get credits for a year. You get no more added to your pension fund. You pay for it. Don't get, but that's over and above, and that's their money, just like that life insurance policy they put out on you.
Right.
And then you have people like my dad, who retired back in 1988.
Okay.
And he went out with 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
Went out at 62 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his pension before taxes is 1950. How many other people went out there during the mid-80s that went out with a full pension, and to this day they're starting out at, let's say, $2,500 a month. That's before taxes and insurance and the VIBA payments that you have to make on certain prescriptions that they may need to stay alive and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's pretty tough. Because, like Paul said, inflation has went up.
O'Morty, he was a retired Chrysler steward, he would tell you. I was a union steward, damn it. And he retired in 1978. And he died here in 2014. And he told me the hardest thing for the last 15 years was trying to live on a $780 pension from his job side, because they never got anything, and then they took away the Christmas bonus and a couple other bonuses. How they starved them old people.
Wow.
Well, the sad
wow.
thing is they any time they have these retirement incentives, they come out of the pension plan, but
yep.
they can't bargain any kind of bonus or anything for retirees. It's crap.
I don't have a problem with that so much anymore, because I've seen how much money's going to be left in the pension plan after the last person dies.
Yeah.
The companies
right.
are getting money with a B, people. Each company set to get billions of money back off our hard sweat money. So tell me the pension plan didn't work, people. Go get it. Fight for it, damn it.
Yep. This is why I'm trying to find out how much per individual they put in the pension plan, because there are amortization charts. A dollar a day equals $1,000 in 10 years. You know, that's the way those charts are set up. But you need to know how much is put in today, which is the start, and then you'll know approximately how much that'll be worth in 10 years.
And right.
20 years, 30 years, that's the way that goes. No one will let you know how much that is. I don't know how to find that. I know it's a way.
My biggest concern is how much stock in the VIBA and in our pension plan is basically a General Motors stock. Because GM could screw up again. You know, especially if their plans to go all electric backfire. You know, and I read something about in California that people are starting to get rid of their electric cars because they don't want to wait a long period of time for them to be charged.
Each VIBA plan is also separate. One VIBA plan can't borrow from the other.
Yeah.
Right. What was it? My son was just talking to me about that. There's a fellow who was poking fun at Tesla, and he's on a YouTube channel. I want to say Ricky Rebuild comes to mind. Anyway, he took an LS1 motor, Corvette motor, and he's dumping that into a Tesla because he got in a fight with Tesla. And I didn't know this, that
And I don't know if this is true with General Motors and Ford and Chrysler and all the everybody else who has electric vehicle, but Tesla owns the property for the charging systems. And you have to have, I believe it's a 220 dedicated for a charge, for a trickle charge overnight. Well, if you want to pay for the premium system and the premium monthly, whatever this is, you get a supercharger capability, which you base.
Scotty, you went mute there.
Hello, Scotty. It's that Kmart damn phone he buys. They buy the cheapest crap.
Server. Me and him have the same server. I have the same issue, only I go underwater.
God. You guys get off a buck, please. Last night I couldn't even understand a word his wife was saying. Oh, I kept saying, what? What? Can't hear everybody, Joe. Nobody could understand a word she was saying. Now, Scott.
I wish I could say that, but I'm giving him $260 a month, dude. I'm get out of this mother. Well, never mind. Another story, another day. I'm trying not to swear, folks.
Let me get Scott. Now, Scotty was on. Now he's gone again. What the hell is he doing? All back in, Scott.
Crush.
Man, I never seen anybody have so much problems with phones.
Yeah, it's sad that they're getting away with all of this shit. Another thing, the interest on that money, where the hell is that going?
Right. Well, this is what I'm talking about amortizing the money. Because that would include interest in it. And so you would know, okay, well, in the account for me as an individual, I got $10 in there. And, you know, my $10 is spread over however many years that I live to draw my pension. That's just simplified.
Okay. Hold on just a sec. Scott, are you there? No, he's been calling in back and forth. He keeps dropping. Well, what wonderful thing he's got going on.
When I was reading that shit, Adrian, about Dawes, I'm thinking, you know, I personally know him and Norwood were like butt buddies in the mid-90s. I mean,
okay.
There was three of them that were inseparable.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Me and you have had words with a couple different times. I'm not going to say a name because we're actually on speaking terms. And like you
okay.
and me believe, we all got to get together and fight the right enemy. This bullshit, yeah. And he now sees what we're fighting.
Yeah, we can't be fighting each other.
Well, no, and they because then we can't fight the true enemy.
Exactly. And then, you know, take the other person's viewpoint that you want to just throw it away and think, oh, they're crazy or whatever. Look at it. Turn it over. Because there's something in there that can be used.
Yep.
Always. And until... You know, until we start being able to, it's not so much agreeing to disagree or disagree to agree. It's not so much that as it is that we are all individuals. We all think for ourselves for the most part. I can't stand all this subliminal messaging that I'm hearing out of everywhere. But anyway, take somebody else's thoughts and think about what they're saying. Maybe they're not saying it exactly right, but like I said, there's always something there if you think about it and say, Oh yeah, we could use. We need this piece right here. This piece goes right here in the puzzle. But what I'm seeing, I don't see it happening.
Scotty, is that you in the switchboard? Of course, one if it is. Jesus. Been on the show 100 years and he still doesn't know how to do it. Here he is. Scott?
Yes. Can you hear me better now?
You're back. Yes.
Must be a hard line right there.
Yeah,
you're not
doing
a Sprite commercial, are you?
What's that?
I was just making sure you weren't doing a Verizon commercial because I hear you now.
I hear you now. You're funny. You're funny. Anyway.
You're doing the same shit. We have the same phone server. I'm going underwater. You're just checking out.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
Verizon? I got Verizon. I have never had no problems with Verizon. Where in the hell do you people live?
T-Mobile.
Scott got hit. Oh, T-Mobile.
I was
with Sprint,
John. I was with Sprint, and they merged with T-Mobile, and I got...
Yeah, now it sucks even worse. That's
well, anyway,
right.
What was the deal with Tesla?
Oh, with Tesla. The guy put a Corvette motor in his Tesla. But my question with Tesla is, my son brought up this thing that if you own a Tesla... You signed an agreement with, I guess, with their charging systems and your charging capabilities. Of course, things have different levels of premium pay, right? And he told me about this thing. It's like a supercharger that you pay for, and it's like it charges your vehicle like in around an hour. And if you don't, you got to have a 220 pig somewhere, and you plug in, and it's going to be a slow trickle charge all night long, you know, to get a full charge. What he's telling me is that some of these electric vehicles own the proprietary charging systems and how that's allowed. And I'm just wondering if that's the same with all the other electric vehicle makers. It's not. He's shaking his head, no.
Mitsubishi doesn't have it.
Honda doesn't have it.
It's pretty much just private companies.
It's just the big private companies. Whoever making these high-priced electric vehicles, I guess. So, that's all I was trying to say. Are we still there?
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it is.
It's good shit, but yeah, it's crazy.
I didn't talk about
your bet quicker. The first finance on the vehicle, you paid a higher payment. I did know that.
Right. Interesting.
Did he, by any chance, talk about what the charge was per kilowatt hour?
Well, I'm going to tell you what Danny told me. He goes, most of us in San Diego now are rid of our electric cars because they're not telling you people what we found out. 400 miles of charge, but if we got to run our AC or our heater on our AC, we're only good for 250 miles. If we don't pay for the, and then we got to run a motel, wait for 12 hours for the damn battery to recharge to go another 250 miles. If you have to run the heater, he goes, you're damn lucky if you get 200 miles. They're not a long vehicle. And if this country is planning to go to that, do you realize how bad it's going to cripple this country? I mean, hell, I couldn't go from here to Traverse City on one charge.
And furthermore, I think someone just posted today, I did not post it for our site, but I believe that France has a boneyard right now of all these vehicles that the city of France used for transportation, and they've wore their batteries out, and to replace the batteries, just twice as expensive as it is to just go buy a brand new vehicle.
Right.
So they've got hundreds of electric vehicles just parked and just dying.
Well, that's my concern about General Motors' plans to go all electric. I don't think that's going to fly in the Midwest. It may work on the coast where you know, people don't travel as much.
Or weather
right.
conditions. But you still
right.
got that air conditioning.
Yeah. But what I mean is people in the Midwest aren't going to buy electric vehicles.
No.
Probably in the South. It's basically something that's going to sell on the coasts, and that's about it. Because people aren't going to wait 12 hours to charge a battery when if they have a gasoline-powered vehicle, they can fill a tank in 3 minutes.
Right.
Well, that sounds like you'll be, if you get an electric vehicle, that'll be your second vehicle, and you won't be going too, you know, driving too many miles on that.
Right. Right.
Mm-mm.
Right. Or you'll just be, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a vehicle that you're going to use, and hopefully you don't put up more than, you know, than so many miles in a day. You don't have to have a long trip.
Right. Oh, yeah. Now they'll force you to fly, take the train or the bus system to wherever if you're going across
right.
country.
Right. That could very well be.
Mm.
You know?
I don't really think that they really thought this out too swell. It was better when they had first come out with electric vehicles and then you could switch it back and forth. You could switch back to gas with it.
Yeah, those make a lot more sense.
Yes, they do. But
oh, the hybrids.
Yeah.
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 That makes
well,
sense.
That does. Does make sense. Yeah. Hey, this is what they want. This is what they're going to force on us. So, like it,
they're
enjoy it, hate it.
Go force it on the people that are buying. See, this is the other thing. The people really have them, so to speak, by the balls. Okay.
Right.
You don't have to buy it because they got it. Okay. If it's not good for you, why are you going out buying this shit?
Right.
Something else came up. I don't know if you saw this. There was some people, and they were talking about now they don't get at certain dealerships are not giving the employee discounts.
Really?
Yeah, that was under one of the groups, and several people said, yeah, they had that problem. It went to the dealership. And they're no longer giving the employee discount. And I'm like, that little funky ass $3,500? The dealership not giving it? How is that? But here again, if you're not desperate for a car, it's like leave their shit on that lot. People don't think like that, though. They. We let these companies run all over us. Why do we do that? We actually had an upper hand. Well, if they
right.
don't sell the cars, you know, I mean, that's on you. Because you're not doing the things you're supposed to get me to purchase it. Cars going up. Even used cars going up. Somebody buying this stuff.
Yep. Yep. Amazing.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, you look you look back in history and you think about back in 70, you could buy a brand new car for about $3,000. 2,800, 3,000. And look at where we are now. Cars cost you as much as damn houses cost you. And they don't last. Nothing's built to last anymore. Everything is a throwaway after X amount of years.
And they build them with about 85% less people.
Yes. Yes. But we knew that was coming.
And they're always carping about their labor costs. And they're
like I said, we knew that that was coming. You had to know that that was coming. You watched it over the years. You go back to when they started automotive and come forward. You knew that was coming. It's always been there. Even the cost. But then, too, our wages did go up, so.
Well, the difference back in the 70s and 80s, they were eliminating the jobs that people didn't want to do, like spraying the underbody in the pit and, you know, things like that. And now they've been eliminating the jobs that people want to do. They've eliminated all the offline jobs. They've, you know, eliminated sanitation. Now it's just a wholesale attack on the workforce.
But
right.
Aren't they supposed to do that?
I don't have any problem with them trying to do it. My problem is the union allows them to do it.
Well, that's where the
they
problem
lies. They don't fight
lies.
Back.
That's where the problem lies.
I never had a big beef with management. They paid me. I didn't agree with some of the things they did, but they gave me a paycheck. The union is not working in our interest, and they're taking our money.
Correct.
So my biggest concern was with the union, not with management.
Mm-hmm.
I expect management to work hard to find ways to cut costs. And
right.
The union's supposed to stop them when they do it in a way that's not in our best interest.
Correct.
Right.
But we have people that represent us that believe that they are one with the company.
That's it. They've formed an unholy alliance.
That's correct.
You know, and there shouldn't be any reference to competitiveness in our agreement. The union shouldn't be working to help management be competitive.
That's correct. That's not our job.
No, it's not. I always figured it was my job to show up when I was supposed to be there, and if the line was moving, I did my job. And
that's
I didn't
correct.
Care if the line moved at all, as long as it wasn't my fault.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow or another, the people that represent us got into their head.
Yep.
That they are the company.
Yep. Back in the early 1980s, they decided they had to help the company. Somehow they bought into that mindset, and it's been downhill for us ever since.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They bought into a partnership.
That's it. Jerry Tucker used to argue with him. He was the only one on the International Executive Board who didn't buy into that line of thinking. He figured the companies would do well on their own. You know, we didn't need to help them. Just need to represent our workers.
Right. Right. Well. some of the people from the from yesteryear saw the problem, what it was going to cause, and could have a little bit of foresight into looking down the road. And when it proved to be any kind of opposition to the, let's say, the Reuther Caucus or Solidarity House, they shut them down.
Right. Well, look at what they did to Dave Yutaw at Buick City. The money to defeat him came out of Region 1C, according to that
right.
book, Transformation of U.S. Labor Unions.
Right.
There's a chapter on the New Directions movement in Buick City in that book.
Right.
And ever since the defeat of Dave Yutaw, Buick City, Flint's has fallen apart.
Yeah, no, it's no longer there.
There was about 40,000 people working for GM when Yutaw was president of Buick City.
Right.
Now, what is there, around 7 or 8,000?
Where, Buick City?
No, I mean in all of Genesee County. And there are about somewhere between 6 and 8,000 UAW workers working for General Motors.
Well, let me see. You got 5,500 at Flint Assembly. You've got maybe 500 left over at Metal Fab, so we'll say that's 6. I don't know how many you have over at Engine Plant, because they've laid off a whole shift, right? So let's just, for giggles, let's say there's 1,800 people there. There's 7,800. Then you got to take in the GMCCA and the GMHA or whatever they are. Yeah, you probably around 8,000 people or just a little bit over. Less
yeah, there
than
is 10. Around 80,000 working in Genesee County.
Right. Right. Back in the day.
Yeah.
So, it's sad. It is. I don't know where we're at. We got about 2 minutes left in tonight's show.
All right. Well, good night to you, Rabble Rosers.
Good night, Paul.
Good
you
night,
take
Paul.
Care of yourself. Be safe.
Good night, Paul.
Catch you next Sunday.
Week.
You and your bride. Have a good
yep.
week.
Yep. Good night.
All right, buddy.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good UAW man right there.
But man, I don't think we can make it much clearer. We're at the critical point of getting our shit together and facing, grabbing each other's hand and walking forward together. It's the only way I can say it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. If they would have stayed out just a few more, 2 more weeks, if they would have listened. CNBC, Fox Business, they were having professionals on saying General Motors can't last. They were saying another week. Next thing you know,
right.
the damn thing settled.
Right.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks might have done something.
Right.
Yeah.
And we didn't hold out.
I dang,
we couldn't hold out 2 more weeks,
40
right?
damn days, yeah. We're in 40
now,
days just to give it up.
Now got a bag in everybody's mouth, so we're back to work helping. You were so close to being a white leader. But you probably would wait 2 weeks.
Huh. I don't know. I'm with Don. I'm and you. I agree. If we would have stayed out, I think I actually think the sky would have been the limit, and it would have forced their hand, and would have forced the International Union to have to do something to represent the people, and they didn't want to do that.
No, they did. No, they already had this thing settled already. Then we were just biding time. All
right.
They were doing.
And we knew that afterwards, we found out that was the original contract was the one that they had before we
yeah.
went on strike.
Right. Yeah. I had that in August.
Yep.
What would happen if we had one member, one vote, and we voted no confidence with our international?
Good point. I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
What's that?
That's an interesting take.
Yeah, very interesting. Something to ponder. Something to ponder in the next week.
I mean, think about it. If, I mean, one member, one vote, that can't be just for one thing, for elections. It's got to constitute for everything, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, it is. Well, we got done. I think.
What's that?
We are done for tonight.
Yes, we are.
Yep.
And I guess we'll be back at the same bat channel at the same bat time next week, right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't remember that.
83, but we'll be right here.
There you go. All right. Everybody have a good week.
All right.
I love it.
Jimmy, 313, and Scotty, you all be safe.
You
and
too.
Adrian.
We'll see everybody.
Adrian.
I said Adrian, didn't I?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm not listening. I apologize.
That's okay. You're good. You're good.
No, he isn't good. He isn't good at all. Next time, don't go to Big Lots to get your damn phone. Get something.
Oh, that hurts.
Money, Scotty. God
that
damn.
Hurts.
When you said Kmart, I could have sworn you were going to reach for Woolworth next.
Oh, man.
Oh, that hurts. SS Kresge. I was going to go to Kresge. 5 and 10. Leave me alone.
All right.
3, just leave me alone. 3-1.
All right.
Heather, mean like a bitch.
All right. I'm going to say goodnight to everybody.
Good night, everyone.
And you all have a good night.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Put on top of Mom. Why'd she bend over like that? Oh, Adrian.
Uh-oh.
Adrian,
uh-huh.
Why you bend over like
uh-huh.
that? Oh, here we go.
Uh-huh.
I'll talk to you all later. Love you.
Bye.
All. Careful. Be safe. Good night, everybody. Good night.